made, what we call made redundant, what you say is being let go or however. And I was wondering what on earth I was going to do. What job would I do? And some people who I respected greatly encouraged me to apply for a job, a particular job which I thought was really exciting, and it was supposed to have all of the things that I was supposed to have all of the qualifications to do the job. So I duly applied for the job. And I was called for interview, and I got down to the last two. And we had this this amazing interview, which I was sort of sat in this room with a long table with about 12 people all the way around it firing questions at me. But I thought, you know, they asked me to apply for the job, so I guess they must know, they must want me. But they didn't. They didn't. The day later, they called me and said, we've decided to go in another direction. And so I sat in my front room and I thought, now what? Now what? I'd invested myself in, you know, I hadn't been applying for dozens of other jobs. I mean, after all, they said they wanted me. They asked me to apply. Why wouldn't I get the job? So I said, now what? Now, I hasten to add, that hasn't been the only time in my life that I've asked the question, now what? And I suspect that there isn't anybody here who hasn't asked that question on multiple occasions, in big things and small things. We were driving to spend a few days away, and we got a puncture. And so 5 o'clock on a Sunday evening, we got a puncture and looked at each other. Maggie and I looked at each other and said, now what? But God had a plan. But that's we managed to find somebody who was so gracious enough to mend that. But now what? We ask the question dozens of times. Every election that takes place, whether it's for a class president or a national president, there's a whole bunch of people who, when the election is over, they say, now what? The question comes over and over again. Sometimes we can ask some people for help with the answer to the question. Sometimes we're confronted by a deathly silence. And now what becomes a greater and greater impact in as we seek the way to move forward. Now, that question, now what, was one which was writ large over the last few pages of each of the gospel accounts. It was written large over the incidents that we celebrate today. But for the last two or three days, now what was an extraordinarily painful question. There was two guys who had decided that first part of the now what was that they were going to go home. They were going to go home to a place called Emmaus. And as they walked down the road to Emmaus, it's in Luke chapter 24. As they walked down the road to Emmaus, somebody joined them and started asking them why they looked so miserable. Why were they asking the question, now what? Why did they look so upset? And they said this. Luke chapter 24 and verse 21 says this. They said, we had hoped. And so many of the times that we ask that question, now what, it represents something that has contained some hope for us. Big or small, some hope that somehow has not been realized. Somehow that hope has not been realized. And when they said, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel, this all happened 3 days ago. What happened 3 days ago? Said this companion on the road. Let's go back a little bit and recognize that this occurred when the Jews were in a situation of enormous desolation. They had been oppressed by the Romans for years. They had longed and longed and longed for a Messiah that they believed was promised. They knew their Old Testament scriptures extraordinarily well. And time again, it says, there's a Messiah coming. There's a guy coming who's going to put all this stuff right. And I think they were getting to the point where they said, really? We've waited so many years and nothing has happened. Lots and lots of promises, but absolutely no fulfillment. And then this guy was born, and there was all sorts of controversy about how he was born. Did he have a dad? Didn't he have a dad? Nobody seemed to be quite too sure. But that sort of blew over, and nothing seemed to come of that for the next 29 odd years. And then this weird guy appeared. He went out into the desert and he ate strange things and he dressed in weird clothes. Sounds like 2017 to me, but still. He went out in the desert and he wore weird clothes and he said, this is the guy. Really? Yeah, this is the guy. And then strange things started to happen. This man began to walk around in Palestine, and he healed people. He fed vast numbers of people, and people started talking. People started asking, could it be that we're actually seeing the things that we've waited for? Is this actually happening? And then last weekend, he got on the back of a donkey and he rode into Jerusalem, which, without some of the details, you can, you know, draw a distinct veil over some of the details. That's what kings did. And he'd been talking about kingdom and nobody quite understood what that meant. But he'd been talking about kingdom, and suddenly he gets on and he rides into Jerusalem and people start cheering and people start yelling and everybody's thrilled and they ask, it's going to happen. At last, everything we've dreamed of, we're going to be rid of the Romans. We're going to be free again. And then everything went wrong. Then the wheels came off big time. Because as glorious as his riding into Jerusalem was, dreadful was what happened as he spiraled, his relationship spiraled downhill until he was nailed to a cross and died. Can you for a minute imagine the desolation and the desperation that all of those people felt when they saw everything they had hoped for, everything they had dreamed of, nailed to a cross and placed in a grave? See, we celebrate Easter Sunday, but I can assure you that the first Easter Sunday, they were a long way from a celebration. And there was a bunch of people asking the question, now what? Now what? Everything has gone wrong. And they were scared. John chapter 20 and verse 19 tells us this. that the Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. You know, when you dream of something and he was politically extraordinarily unpopular, and you had been his followers, and this had happened, they were scared that they were going to be imprisoned, killed, might go to the... They were terrified. They were humiliated. They were desolate. Everything was going wrong, and so they were scared, and they hid away. Then back to those people who were on the road to Emmaus, and this guy, you remember, we started this, we're going to go back to these guys who are walking to Emmaus, and they've told this guy who they thought must have been living under a rock. These are the things that have happened, and rather than saying that, you know, they must have anticipated, the guy would have said, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry that happened to your friend. I'm going to try and imagine how you must feel, and I can understand why you're asking the question, now what?" But that isn't what happened. He turned round and said, "You're a bunch of dummies." Well, that's my translation. He said, "You're a bunch of dummies. You haven't read your Bibles. Or you've read them and you haven't paid attention. Because if you pay attention, you will discover..." You see, we had hoped. And what does he say? He says, "Since you haven't read your Bibles, I'm going to read them for you." And so he said, and so this is what he does. He says, he told them the things concerning himself, because actually they were walking beside Jesus. And he said to them, "I want you to remember all of the things that you've learnt, because it might help you to answer your question, now what?" And he unfolds the pictures that say, "Look, these are the things that happened. Remember them. Remember them. Because they will begin to help you to see, now what?" What about the others? The guys who were in that room in Jerusalem. Look what happens to them. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them saying, "Peace be with you." Suddenly, he came through the wall. Jesus showed up again. Jesus showed up on the road. He showed up in the room and he said, "Look, you need to remember some of the things that I told you. You need to understand all of the things that I told you." Now, here is one of the most exciting parts of the story. You see, all of the disciples were there and they saw Jesus then. But they're still asking the question, "Now what?" Which is pretty encouraging, because you'd think if some guy who was dead appeared in your room and said, you would think that you would be somewhat convinced that now that you're going to do "now what." Well, Peter, who's sort of the leader of them, says this: "Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing." Why did he do that? Because he was going back to what was familiar to him. He was answering the question, "Now what?" by saying, "Well, you know, everything we'd hoped for has gone to hell in a handbasket, if you'll excuse the expression. So let's go back to what we've done before. I know how to fish, and, you know, it would have been nice if something better had happened, but we'll go fishing." And all of the others turned around and said, "Okay, we'll go fishing. We'll go fishing." Guess what happens next? Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. And even though he said, "Look, I've appeared," he could have turned around and said, I appeared to you, I came through the wall and appeared to you when you were scared to reassure you. And now you're going fishing? You're going back to what you did before? When everything I told you about said that life needs to be transformed and you have a message for the world? He asks them to remember. And as Jesus shows up again, things begin to change. They begin to remember. Perhaps they remembered what Jesus had said to them in John chapter 21 and verse 16. When he says his disciples didn't understand that this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened. And they realized. They began to say, okay, perhaps I need to rethink what I thought of before. Perhaps as I think about now what, the first thing I need to do is to go back and think, what did I miss in what Jesus said? What did I miss? What did I read and perhaps not think the way I could have done? And then Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, perhaps they remembered that. Where he said, the Son of Man, when Jesus said, now this must, you know, imagine what this must have felt like when they said that, when he said this to them. The Son of Man will suffer terrible things. He'll be rejected by the elders. They didn't want to hear any of that. So if he's anything like us, probably he didn't listen to that bit. Because they were so focused on remembering that Jesus was going to change everything for them. Okay, well, you know, whatever this means. But the third day he will be raised from the dead. Well, that was way out of their understanding. But now he has done. My friends, nobody has ever told people that they were going to rise from the dead and then did it. I think when they went back and remembered what he said, that must have made an impact. And so how do they respond? As they ask the question, now what? Well, the change is dramatic. And the best way of showing it to you, I'm going to show you Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Here are these miserable, desolate, demoralized guys who think everything has gone wrong. And then Peter preaches this sermon when he says, you know, we now realize, and because we've remembered, we've rethought, and we've refocused, we have now remembered that Jesus said he was going to raise from the dead. He did. You killed him. He did. But if you believe that he's risen from the dead, that changes everything. That makes the now what, that we will proclaim the gospel to the world. And that has changed the world. And so I invite you with me this morning to, I always find that Easter morning is a great opportunity for us to ask ourselves the question, now what? I'm sure that every one of you has some situation in which painful, difficult, where the question comes to you and you can't avoid it, it's now what? You were disappointed by the way somebody behaved. You were disappointed by a college rejection. You were disappointed by a parent. You were disappointed by your children. You were disappointed by the way in which, by the raise you got when you had your evaluation. You were disappointed in your own behavior. You were disappointed that you did something you wish you hadn't done, and you didn't think you were going to, but somehow you did, and right there, deep inside, you're disappointed and you're asking yourself the question, now what? Now what? Well, let's remember as we ask ourselves the question, now what? What the disciples did, they remembered. You see, Jesus tells us that it doesn't matter what we've done. He says that his acceptance of us has nothing to do with what we have or haven't done, how good or bad we think we are. There is nothing about that that enters into any part of his relationship with us. So whatever your now what is, Jesus says, I'm here. Remember the things that I've said. Remember I said believe. And you will receive. So perhaps the first part of your answer to the now what is, perhaps I need to rethink that. And I don't know where any of you are in your walk with God. Maybe you're not quite sure if God exists, or maybe you've been walking with him for a long while. That's fine. Because the question is the same. Now what? Is now the time to ask yourself, should I rethink? Should I relook at those Bible verses that I either haven't read at all? Should I open this? You see, you remember those disciples? He opened the Bible to them again as he walked on the road to Emmaus, and he said, look, now you need to see these things, and you need to see them again because you missed them the first time. Maybe the now what for you is to say, I need to look at this book for myself. And ask, did I miss something? Did I miss something? And is it should I rethink what I missed? Should I rethink my beliefs? Should I rethink my attitude? Should I rethink the path I've gone down? Because I need to confront the fact that it is not going where I expected it to. It is not going where I wanted it to. It is not going where I hoped it would go. And I have avoided that big now what for long enough. Because when we remember the things that we learned and we ignored, when we rethink those things, as the disciples were forced to do, even when they confronted the risen Lord Jesus once and they still were going back and saying, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do about it. Let's go fishing. Even God was so patient with them, and he's so patient with us. Maybe you've been challenged by this any number of times, and all of the times you've managed to negotiate around it. Maybe today is the day you should stop negotiating around it and listen to the question, now what? And remember, rethink and refocus. Relook at what the scripture says. Relook at what Jesus promises you, because he promises eternity with him. Everything he promises changes everything that we have around us. So what's your now what today? What's the now what that you really need to ask and you haven't been asking because you're scared of the answer? Jesus stands risen from the dead. Stands risen from the dead and says, peace. He opens his arms and says, come to me. Rethink, refocus. At New Life, I like to think that we're a bunch of people asking the question, now what? But instead of asking ourselves, we're asking Jesus. And we're walking down a road which is often uncomfortable, which is the same road as everybody here is walking down. And every time we confront something which is painful or is confusing or is something that prompts the question, now what? instead of sitting in confusion, either together or alone, we say, now what to Jesus? And we've discovered that it doesn't matter where on the road you are, when you ask now what to Jesus, he enables you to remember the things that he said, to rethink them as he would have us rethink them, and to refocus in a way that changes our lives. And we begin the process of transformation. And we begin to follow him, like you heard Sanji talk. Over a good few years, I've watched Shanji's life being transformed as she's asked, now what, now what, now what? And Jesus had answered, try this. It's happened to me, and it's happened to many of us. Maybe today is the day that you either start that process or you confront just another now what on the road. If you've never confronted that, or you need to confront it, I invite you to not leave. We got an amazing meal in the fellowship hall for you. But don't go and eat until you've answered that question. We'd love to be able to pray with you, to encourage you. And I know there's going to be enough food for you by the time when that prayer has taken place. But that question will come back time and time again. And Jesus wants to answer it with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we see your disciples. We see that their lives changed as they asked the question, now what? And they got the answer from you. That they should see that you had risen from the dead and proclaim that message to a world of confusion and of depression. Lord, we have so many now what questions. We want to ask you that you might answer those questions for us. Lord, give us the courage to confront them where we need to. In the precious and holy name of Jesus.